carb is good for you and fat is bad for you eras. Both ideas are firmly rooted in the nutrition and fitness industries, as well as in the mind of most people who are interested in health and fitness. At any given time, in any given gym, you can find the advice to eat less fat, and in that same gym, you can be told, eat less carbs. Rarely, if ever, will you be told to eat less protein. It has been almost 100 years since Kellogg and Fletcher were trying to convince the population that protein was the bad guy. Since then, protein has become the only macronutrient left that could possibly be good for us. So the stage is set once again for protein to be the cure for all our ills. And it was also set for protein to make a lot of people a lot of money. With the popularity and favorable profit margins attributed to protein powders, people quickly jumped on to support protein's role in helping you build muscle and lose fat. Fitness magazines constantly repeat the pro-protein messages. If you want to build big muscles, you have to eat your protein. If you want to lose weight and look like a fitness model, then you have to eat your protein. Browse the pages of any popular fitness magazine, and you will find the following two golden rules of dietary protein. 1. Eat a minimum of 30 grams of protein every 2 to 3 hours. 2. Always drink your post-workout protein shake. When I first started working in the sports supplement industry, I was a salesperson at a local supplement shop. I believed in these protein recommendations and followed them with almost fanatical dedication. I drank my protein shakes and ate my protein bars. In fact, it wasn't unusual for me to drink 4 to 5 shakes per day. I would constantly strive to keep my protein intake up around 250 grams per day. Why? Because I thought it was scientifically proven that more protein meant more muscle, and more muscle was what I wanted. When a customer came into the store, it almost didn't matter what they were shopping for. I knew that I could convince them to buy protein. It wasn't because I was an amazing salesperson, or that I was sinister or deceitful. Rather, it was because I believed in protein so much that my enthusiasm became contagious. I would get people so worked up about how great protein was for them that they would end up buying 2, sometimes 3 tubs of the stuff. Nowadays, I realize that much of what I was led to believe as fact was really just clever and powerful marketing, combined with my inability to truly understand the available research. However, I am not embarrassed by my mistakes. After all, if you've ever seen a protein supplement advertisement, you know how convincing they can be. The protein supplement industry is massive, with projected sales at over $6 billion in 2011. With this much money on the line, I am sure you can imagine why so much time and effort are spent on the marketing of protein supplements. And it's not as if the sports supplement industry is the only one that stands to profit from this new golden era of protein. Beef, poultry, pork, dairy, and eggs are the major sources of protein in the North American diet. And you can bet these industries are capitalizing big time on the newfound love affair we have with protein. These food industries dwarf the supplement industry, so they have even more money to spend on advertising to make sure you are reminded that protein is the critical piece of your diet and fitness puzzle. As an example of the food industry's interest in promoting protein as healthy, we can look to the fact that the funding for the science meeting Protein Summit 2007, exploring the impact of high-quality protein on optimal health, was supplied by the following industries: Egg Nutrition Center, National Dairy Council, National Pork Board, and the Beef Checkoff through the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. The pro-protein message doesn't just come from the industry side. According to the mass media, there are many different reasons why we should eat more protein, from improved overall health to fat.